When you spoke to me of the probability of my release from the hells, and told me that this great love would work out my deliverance, I confess that I had very little faith in what you told me, and thought that you were trying to impose on me some of the old nonsensical beliefs of your church doctrines, of which I had heard a great deal when on earth, and when the bright spirits came to me and confirmed what you had said, and offered their services in accordance with what you had advised me was the certain way to my obtaining a new state of living, I thought that this was an illusion or delusion, and that no results could possibly come to me by pursuing the course that they told me would surely lead to a change of my condition. But they were so earnest, and so anxious that I should listen to them, and seemed to have so much love for me and my welfare, which was a new experience for me since I had been in hells, that I commenced to think that such evidence of friendship and anxiety for my betterment must have some foundation of truth, and that I could not lose anything by heeding their advice and making the effort to pursue the way pointed out to me. And so I commenced to pray for the love, and they prayed with me, and in a little while their father appeared to me in a new light, not just real, but as something that might have a potential existence. I continued to pray and listen to their prayers, and my emotions were aroused, and I felt a kind of happiness that I had not before felt, and a feeling of hope that there might be some efficacy in their prayers, but had not much faith in my own, and, notwithstanding my incredulity, I realized that I felt better in the atmosphere of their presence and in the influence that their prayers seemed to bring around me. They were very kind and sympathetic, and so wonderfully patient, and impressed me with the feeling that my soul's salvation, as they termed it, and the deliverance of me from my unhappy and suffering condition were to them matters of personal interest and importance, and, of course, with such feelings I soon commenced to think that if these beautiful spirits could have such interest in me, I should have interest in myself sufficient to earnestly seek for the relief that I so much needed. Well, I then put more desire and longings in my prayers and tried to look upon their father, as possibly my father also, and so my longings became more real and intense. I prayed and called upon the Father to give me this love, and to cause me to have faith in prayer and in the being to whom my prayers were offered. I will not tell you how earnestly I continued to pray and how the first faint realization of the answer came to me, and with it the consciousness of a hope that might be fulfilled. After a while this love came to me, and with it a feeling of happiness that I had never conceived of, and also the conviction that these spirits were showing and helping me on the true way to a redemption of soul and body, also, for as you may know, I had then and have now a body more substantial and real than the one which I possessed when on earth. I will not here describe my progress or the different experiences that I had, nor the faith, nor 680, the Paget Messages 1919, doubts that came to me in succession. I persisted, with the encouragement of these spirits, and after a while found myself out of the darkness and sufferings and the hells, real and terrible, and an inhabitant of a brighter sphere and in the association of brighter spirits, who, though not like the beautiful spirits who had so lovingly worked with me, yet, were very different from those whom I had left in the darkness and the hells. I am now in the third sphere, and if I had the time, or rather, if I felt justified in consuming your time, I would describe to you as best I could, what this sphere is, and the wonderful beauty and happiness that belongs to it. Sometime, I hope to have the opportunity to attempt to portray the wonders of this sphere, and more particularly of my home and surroundings. Tonight, as I have said, I merely desire to express to you my gratitude, and to assure you of the truth in the results of what you told me was the true way to light and happiness. Never through all eternity shall I forget your kindness and the great help that you gave me, nor shall I cease to remember you in my prayers to the Father, whom I now know is a true, real, existing and loving Father. Oh, the difference in the condition of the butler in hell and the butler who is now writing you is beyond all description, and this love, which is the greatest thing in all the universe and the greatest gift to mortals, is the cause thereof. I must stop writing, although I should like to write longer, for I have already intruded too long. So remember my gratitude, and also that I am now a very happy George Butler. March 23, 1919. Let me write a line. John D. Rogers. I was with you at the meeting and saw that you are mediumistic, and I felt that I should like to communicate with you for a short time. I am one of the spirits who frequently attend the meetings of the medium, Mrs. Gates, whom you heard speak tonight and give to some of the people the messages from their loved ones, and I was very anxious to communicate also, but had not the opportunity. I am a man who was known to several of the persons present and would have been recognized had my name been mentioned and would have been gladly received. I am very unhappy in my present condition and surroundings and want to learn the way to get out of darkness and unhappiness. I know that the friends of mine who were present think that I am a 681 happy spirit and can come to them and help them in their worldly affairs, when the fact is, that I cannot, and that they can help me more than I can help them, and I wish that they would do so. It is terrible to be left in the condition in which I am, with no light, or the way to get into the light, left open to me. I never know when to ask for help, for something always comes forward to interfere with my efforts, and I am relegated to my awful condition of darkness, in which I have been since I came to spirit life. It is a mistake for mediums to believe or teach that we all are in a happy condition when we come to the spirit world, for such is not the case, and many a spirit comes to his relatives and for the purpose of relieving them of any fear as to his condition, tells them that he is happy, when he is not. Well, I came with you, hoping that you might help me some, if only by your sympathy and kind thoughts, which do so much good to spirits, situated as I am, and I believe that you would probably send up a prayer for my relief. I was not a very good man when on earth and am now paying the penalty for my evil thoughts and deeds. My friends thought that I was good, but in this they were mistaken, and many a man who considers himself good, as men generally go, will find that in the storehouse of his memory are the records of many thoughts and deeds that he had forgotten, but which when he comes to spirit life, will come upon him in all their nakedness and horror, to be atoned for in the way that the laws of God require. I am not a Christian, though when on earth I believed in the creeds of my church and considered myself a very good church member, and was certain that I would be among the redeemed when I should come to meet the great revealer of things as they are, I mean death. No, the truth cannot be hidden by belief, or anything but truth itself. We must all face the great revelation, and when it comes it will not show us to be free from sin and defilement, as I thought when on earth. I must pay the penalty, and the great law will work in my case as certainly as that the sun will rise on your world tomorrow morning. I have seen sick spirits, but only as you see ghosts as you believe. I have never had any conversation with them, and do not know that they can do me any good, or that they desire to help me. But why do you ask? Well, I see a spirit, and he is exceeding bright and beautiful and comes to me and tells me that he will help me if I will only believe what he tells, the Paget Messages 1919, me and follow his advice. I am going with him and do my best to do as he advises. He says that I will find relief and light. I must go, so good night. Your friend, John D. Rogers. March 30, 1919. I am here, Jesus. Let me write a few lines, for I am anxious to tell you that you have not been in good company today, as the meeting, Mrs. Kate's seance held in Washington, D.C., was filled with spirits who are of the earth plane, and know not the truths that will lead to a knowledge of the things that are necessary in order to secure a home in the celestial heavens. Many spirits were those of men who, when on earth, lived immoral and licentious lives, and who are in the same condition as they were when on earth. They have not yet answered to the law of compensation, and, of course, you will see that their influence is not of the kind that tends to develop those soul qualities that lead to the heaven of the followers of me, in the true sense. The medium with whom you conversed, and who delivered the messages of some of the spirits who were so anxious to reach their friends of earth, was influenced by spirits who are in a condition of more or less darkness and alienation from God, and consequently suffers from her association and the influence to which she was subjected. She has long been in this work of demonstrating to mankind the fact of communication between the spirits in the flesh and those who have passed the mysterious borderline, and her work has been strenuous and served to demonstrate the fact for which it was intended, and she is satisfied with the reality of the fact of the continuity of life after so-called death. This has been a phase of mediumship that was necessary to be performed, and she has done her work faithfully and well, and is now entitled to be relieved of this work that pertains to the lower order of spiritualism, and should be freed of this great burden and be permitted to come into a knowledge of the higher things of spirit life. I am glad that you will soon have the opportunity to tell her things that await her as a reward for all the sacrifices that she has been compelled to make. Now, do not misunderstand me. Her work was necessary as a preliminary to the conversion of men to a belief in the truth of spirit communication and the fact that there is no death, and to the consolation that comes to men from the 682, knowledge that their loved ones are with them, seeking to help and be helped in their conditions that the great law of cause and effect imposes upon them. Many a sad heart has been comforted by her ministrations and many a spirit has been helped by having opened up to them the way to make known their presence to mortals. But she has from the very nature of her occupation been more or less injured in her spiritual progress, and the time has come when she shall have the opportunity to attend to and obtain her own soul's progress. She is naturally a good woman, and when she told you that she had a longing for something for which she did not understand, she was uttering a great truth of her soul, and one that has been present with her since she was a little child, for her soul has been calling to the great soul of the Father for his love and the happiness that comes with the knowledge that the Father's love is ever ready and anxious to respond to her longings. Her knowledge of spiritualism does not teach her what this love is, even though her soul feels its presence, and in her underdeveloped longings realizes that there must exist that which will draw her closer to the great love of the Father. So I say, tell her the truths that have been revealed to you, and of your experience in seeking for and obtaining this transforming love, and she will listen and seek and obtain, and with such obtaining will come a happiness she has never before experienced. And when she has believed in this love and obtained it to a degree, she will become a powerful instrument in converting men to a belief in the only way to the celestial heaven and to immortality. Then will she have back of her the influence of the hosts of celestial angels to inspire her and qualify her to preach the true kingdom of God, and her faculties of clairvoyance will be opened up to see the things of the celestial heavens and the wonderfully bright and glorious spirits, who will come to her with their messages of truth and knowledge of the glories that belong to those who know that the divine love of God is the only thing that can transform the human soul into an angel of light, and the immortality that I came to earth to teach, and which I did teach, but which, alas, was so soon lost to the knowledge of men. I am particularly interested in her, not so much because of her own soul, as because she has in her those qualities that can be used by us in making known to the world the truths which we of the celestial spheres know will set them free from the Paget Messages 1919, the false and damning teachings of the Orthodox churches, and making my coming to earth and living, not dying, the way to the truth and the life. She may think that her knowledge, I mean intellectual, is all that needs to be known, but when she lets her soul's longings go to the Father and receives the response, which she will certainly receive, she will then know that spiritualism, as she conceives it to be, is the mere forerunner of that which will make all men at one with the Father, when embraced by man and lived. The meetings, such as was held today, while as I have said was filled with spirits who are in darkness and suffering, yet also attracted many spirits who are bright and progressing in their natural love, and who tried to help those to whom they came and communicated, and to that extent did good, and also served to convince the unbelievers of the truth of the mere passing from the body of flesh into the spirit body, a continued existence, without changing of condition of happiness or misery. The great law of compensation, as you sow so shall you reap, is taught at the meetings, and there is no truer or greater law in all the universe of God, and man must realize that it works without exception and to the last farthing, and that there can never be forgiveness until forgetfulness takes place. Well, my dear brother, I must stop as the power is weakening, but before closing let me entrust you to tell the medium that I, Jesus of the Bible, as I called my disciples when on earth, now call her to do the work which is so important to mankind, and that she must prepare herself by seeking for this love. It is utterly impossible for a soul out of unison with the souls of the spirits who come to it to receive their communications and transmit the same to mankind. Her soul must respond to the souls of the spirits, and it will be so easy for her to get into the condition that will make this possible. Like attracts like, and this law applies to rapport and to other things of the spirit world, and of the earth as well. I see that you are in better condition tonight, and I am pleased, for I will soon come and write another message with reference to the higher truths. With my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. April 7, 1919. I am here, Jesus. Let me write a few lines. I see that you are much interested in what the preacher 683, Dr. Swain, said tonight about God and his personality, and that you gave him several questions which he could not answer. This must be expected, for to men is not given ordinarily a true conception of God, or who or what he is, and only by the development of their souls by the divine love can they obtain any conception of his being. As their souls thus develop, they become a part of his divinity, and their soul perceptions become opened up to a realization of who God is, to a small degree at least, and then they know that he is something more than an all-enveloping energy, supplemented by a purposeful will. The preacher has not these soul perceptions and cannot conceive of God, the soul, but can only express to you the truthfulness of the evidences of God's existence, such as the energy that he spoke of. As you know, this energy is his spirit, although the preacher has not the exact conception of what this spirit is or how it operates. He confuses the soul and spirit, and makes the mere instrument by or with which God expresses his energy, to be the real true substance of God, the soul. He is right when he says that he cannot go back of this energy to find God, for his soul perceptions have not yet been awakened to a cognition of that from which the energy proceeds, or which is the very source from which flows all the manifestations, that to his mind constitute God. He is like the theologians and philosophers, who believe that these manifestations and energies and forces are the only God, the only personal God, and he may be shocked to hear that his teachings amount to only this. But it is true, and to him there is no more personal God than to the others, with this exception, that he attempts to believe that in some manner and in some way connected with this energy, there is a will which has in it a purpose of love or kindness or fatherly care, but the real personal God, with his great soul of love which is being always bestowed upon the individual man, he does not conceive of or make his own. God is soul, and only soul, which has in it all the attributes of love and wisdom and thought for the welfare of his creatures. He is a thinking and seeing God, and all the energies of his soul are used to make men better and happier. As is the natural father of a man a personal father, so is the great soul of God, a personal father to all his children, and men when they have the development of their souls in the divine love will. The Paget Messages 1919, know that God is personal, something more than an all-enveloping energy or force or mere manifestation of his existence. The preacher says, in substance, that God is everywhere, and his presence may be realized by all who are willing to receive that manifestation, and that whether they are or not willing, that presence exists just the same. This is pantheism, toned down a little by his beliefs in a more personal God, but still pantheism, and wholly wrong and violative, desecrate or defile, of God's being. The source of things can never be the things themselves, although the things as they flow from the source have some of the qualities of the source itself, and so these manifestations of God's existence, while they are of his qualities, yet they are not equivalent of his presence or the source from which they flow. God is not everywhere, but in his heavens, and all these expressions of his powers and will and energies are merely evidences that there is a source from which they all come, and they are not that source itself. And again, the preacher said that God created the body of man and not the spirit, as he calls it, meaning the soul, so that the body is a creation by itself and cannot contain in it the spirit or the spirit body, but that this spirit is outside of the human body, and is in a general way a part of one great spirit that is universal and everywhere, and that, therefore, all men, no matter what their conditions may be in the earth life or in the eternity part of life, are brothers, and God is the father of them all. Well, in this the preacher is mistaken, for every man has his own individual spirit, and soul, and on the state or condition of that soul depends the happiness or misery of the man, and he is merely the brother of other men because he is a creature of God and made in his image, and not because he is a part of the universal spirit, which the preacher believes permeates everything and exists everywhere. And God is the Father, because these children are his creatures, the objects of his creation, and individualized, each working out his own destiny. As we have told you, some of these children will always remain the merely created children, while others will partake of his divine love, and become a part of his divinity, and inhabitants of the celestial spheres. The preacher has many things to learn, and as he believes in the search for the truth, if he will let the divine love flow into his heart and transform his soul into the very essence and substance of the 684 Father's divinity, he will be able to learn many things spiritual as well as of things material are governed by law, and unless the soul gets into a condition that enables it to see and realize the higher truths of the spirit world, it can never obtain knowledge of things spiritual, and one of the objects of such knowledge is God. Well, I have written enough and will stop. With my love, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. April 8, 1919. I am here, Jesus. Let me say a few words tonight. I was with you again at the services and listened to the preacher, Dr. Swain, as he expounded the truth of God and the truth of man as he conceived these truths to be, and I am compelled to say that if his future state of happiness depended upon these supposed truths, he would be a very unhappy spirit in one of the million heavens of which he spoke. I am sorry that men can conceive of such notions of God and man, and teach them to other mortals. But so it will be for many years, and until my teachings, through you, are accepted and believed by men, great darkness and error will prevail in the earth. It is hardly necessary for me to attempt to analyze many of his erroneous statements, for they are so many and so erroneous that it will take too long a message to review them all. But I will say one thing, and that is that when he attempted to show that God's energy and man's energy are one and the same, he was all wrong, and knew not what he said. God is a being who is infinite and omnipotent, and as to his energies there is no limits, while man is a mere creature of God, and cannot possibly have any greater or other energy than he was created with, and this energy is controlled by the soul that is man, and is subject to all the limitations of that soul. Well, I will not write more tonight, but hope ere long to write you one of my messages of truth. I see that you have been somewhat in doubt as to the reality of the truths of the messages that you have received, and as to the power of the divine love to make you a child of God, in the sense divine. You must not let such doubts enter your soul for one moment, for they are the breeders of other things that are most harmful and tend to alienate you from the Father. As you are aware, God's love is all around you, and may be in you. The Paget Messages 1919, and if permitted to flow into your soul, with faith accompanying it, you will find yourself growing in attonement with the Father, and realize that fact. So my brother, get rid of your doubts and come to God in the faith that is childlike and dependent. He will not disappoint you. I will be with you, and try to help you in your desires. Pray more to the Father, and believe that his love is yours, only for the longing and seeking. I will not write more tonight. Rest assured that my love is with you in all its fullness, and believe that you have a work to do. Good night, Jesus. Let me say a word, as I was also present at the meeting tonight, and listened to the preacher, Dr. Swain, as he unfolded what he thought to be the truth of God and man. Well, I will not stop to discuss many of the errors of his teachings or the workings of his mind, but only say, that if God is as he considers him to be, he would not be the God, which we know to exist and who loves us and whom we can call Father. The all-enfolding energy is not the God of love and mercy, and the preacher cannot possibly find in such a God, the Father that is calling for and caring for his children. I merely wanted to say this. I am an inhabitant of the celestial kingdom, and will say good night. Thomas B. Monroe. April 9, 1919. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see that you are not very much enlightened by the preacher's, Dr. Swain, discourse tonight, and I do not see why you should be, for he has no true conception of either God or man, and gave no help to those who are searching for the true God, the Father. I see that you may feel that you are benefited though by the negative lesson that his discourse teaches. He tells of what he thinks God is, and in telling this, demonstrates that he knows nothing of the true God. You may hear the full course of his lectures and you will not learn much that will benefit you in an affirmative way. But attend the same, and then meditate upon them, and you will find that you have listened to a man who knows nothing of God or the spiritual world of which he pretends to speak. We all love you and want you to love us. Good night. Your own true and loving Helen. 685, April 13, 1999. I am here, John T. Richards. Let me write a few lines, as I am very anxious to tell you of what the scene was at the meeting tonight. There were surrounding you a very great number of spirits of all kinds and conditions. Some were present for the purpose of mere curiosity and others with the desire to communicate with their loved ones of earth, and still others were seeking help and deliverance from their conditions of sufferings and torment. Mrs. Gates, the medium, tried to gift the communications of some of the spirits who were anxious to tell their relatives and friends of their presence and of the condition in which they, the mortals, were in, and advise them as to what is best to be done, and if they will only take the advice, they will be helped. There was one spirit who tried to make himself known by an unusual method of identification, in having with him a dog which the person to whom the spirit came was unable to identify, but the spirit was not within his recollection. The dog was a real dog, but not the spirit of any dog that had existed in the human, or rather, earthly form, and the likeness was created by the spirit who tried to have the individual identify him. There are no spirits of dogs, or any other animals, that once had an existence on earth, in the spirit worlds. These appearances are all manufactured by the spirits for the purpose of having the medium see, clairvoyantly, the resemblance of the dog on earth, so that an identification may be made. Dogs and other animals when they die never have any part of themselves that survived death, and become extinct. They have no soul and, consequently, nothing that persists after death of the earth form. I was much interested in the séance, and tried to make myself appear to the medium, but it was not successful. The condition of the dark spirits who were seeking help was most pitiable, and the medium for some reason was not able to see or understand their condition, and, hence, no help was given them, and they went away very sorrowful. You had several spirits around you, but they did not try to manifest themselves, and I doubt if the medium could have seen them had they tried. They were not of the kind who come to her and make their presence known, for her development as a medium is not such as to enable her to see spirits of the kind mentioned. She has not the soul development that is necessary in order that they, the Paget Messages 1919, can make a rapport with her, and hence she can neither see nor hear them. I will not write more now, so good night. Your friend, John T. Richards. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, you have just had a message from one of the spirits who sometimes attends the meetings of Mrs. Gates, and he was very anxious to write you, and we permitted him to do so. He is not of the higher order of spirits, though one who is much advanced in his natural love, and knows the different classes of spirits who attend the meetings. We were present, but of course could not communicate for the reason that he has given you. If Mrs. Gates would only learn the truth of communication and rapport, and seek to obtain the soul development that would enable the higher spirits to come to her, she would have wonderful powers and hear the voices of spirits who now never communicate with her. She is a wonderful medium in the sphere of work that she is doing, and many spirits are made happy by the messages of love to their loved ones, and the mortals as well, but her mediumship is not of the order that will benefit her very much, and the time is now arrived when she must get into a higher class of work, and enable spirits of a higher order to come to her and communicate. You must not fail to give her the message that the Master wrote, for upon it depends not only her own salvation, but the salvation of many mortals to whom she can preach the truths of God, and the knowledge of the life beyond the borderline of death. I hope that you will soon have the opportunity. Well, I see that you are in a better condition today, and some of the higher spirits have been with you, suggesting thoughts and trying to impress you with the importance of your work. You must realize this when you contrast the teachings that you heard today with the truths that have been revealed to you. Well, they will come soon and continue the messages that treat of the great truths of God and man, and you must get in the condition that will permit them to successfully write. I will not write more tonight. Baby is here and sends her love. We all love you and hope that soon now brighter things will open up to you and that your hopes will soon be realized. Keep up your faith and you will not be disappointed. Good night, my dear husband, your own true and loving, Helen. April 18, 1999. I am here, John B. Johnson. Let me say just a word. I have been with you tonight as you read the book and saw that in it you found something that agreed with your ideas of what was necessary for men to do in order to regain their conditions of pristine purity from which they fell.